There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Oh, yeah. Every Thursday, high noon. Silly Underdog picks. As we get here every Thursday, we can already cross games off the list because they're not going to get played, and that is nothing different here this week. Four SEC games have been postponed. Others in other conferences, they don't get postponed. They get canceled. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, the commissioner, Willie Donick, alongside here to start hour number three, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders on the line. You'll hear him today starting at 5 o'clock on our pregame show, leading you up to Titans and Colts tonight. So from 5 until 7 with Jared and Floyd Reese right here on 102.5 The Game. Chris, how you doing?
Man, I'm in a good mood, man.
Yeah?
I mean, that almost got a couple of points and snuck up on y'all. But I'm actually doing pretty good. Dwayne is upset right now. I mean, everybody knows Dwayne is always upset. But Chris, man, he's in a good mood because he's optimistic and he's about to make his run this week, baby.
Dwayne seems to be a little bit better.
Oh, he's really better. I mean, he's been close on so many accounts. Second game we picked, Texas Tech should have beat Texas. I mean, that's a given. And then this past week, we had Syracuse that should have won, and then we had Dallas that should have beat Pittsburgh. Hey, he's upset, but Chris is optimistic.
I've got to be honest, as we bring in former quarterback Kelly Holcomb, if we had a woulda, coulda, shoulda standings, maybe Chris Sanders, Kelly, would indeed be our leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, but he just talks, and nobody cares.
Well, that's a receiver.
That's what they do. I mean, he's always open. He's one of them dudes that's always open. I used to get that all the time.
Holcomb,
hey, man, I'm open,
give me
really.
The ball!
But yeah. I got a record you don't have.
You're open. Okay, we've already gone over this record that we don't have. Nobody cares about that either, Chris, or Dwayne, or whatever you are.
Oh, he should have on the back of his jersey, it says 2019, because that's where Chris seems to be stuck in. Chris seems to be stuck in 2019.
That's not a bad place to be right now.
I agree.
If I'm being honest.
All right, Kamish, I'll turn things over to you. Let's review.
Willie! Oh, Willie G! Willie G!
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. This is your commissioner speaking. 2020 Silly Underdog Contest continues to roll along despite the games here and there that have had to be postponed or canceled. Another great week of competition. Let's take a look first at our online contest at thegamenashville.com. The most popular picks. It's an interesting week along those lines. The most popular pick by far was Notre Dame hosting Clemson, which they won in double overtime in dramatic fashion. Over a third of our audience had that as one of their three games, 34%. 23%, this one surprised me a little bit, had Liberty, who did upset Virginia Tech. So our listening audience, very smart to take Liberty in that one. And then the third most popular at 21% was Iowa out of the Big Ten at Michigan State. The winner of the contest, Joseph Trovato from Clarksville, a score of 48. He tied for the top, and he won the tiebreaker, so he wins the weekly prize. And even if you haven't played all year long, and thank you to all of you that have been playing with us every week, you can still join the contest by going to thegamenashville.com. You pick a combination of college and pro games and a total of three. So let's get to the insiders. At week 9, Darren McFarland had the first pick. He came out, and he was very strong with his pick. He took the Florida Gators, a 3.5-point dog, against Georgia in Jacksonville. Gators came out of the chute hurting, down 14-0 early, came storming back, and had full control of the game by the end of the third quarter. The final score, Gators 44, Georgia 28. So, Darren, congratulations. You pick up 3.5.
Thank you, Willie. As I said last Thursday, you guys expected me to probably go long. I knew that I was going to go for it on fourth down, so I decided just to get some yards, pick up some points. I have two plays to get the first down, although Sunday didn't really come through. But anyway.
And we will get to that.
I did have bitter beer face when it was 14-0. I could not believe what was going on. But luckily Florida changed that pretty quickly.
Kyle Trask continues to show out and look pretty good. His stock is rising big time.
Kelly, what when you see him through your quarterback eyes, what do you see in Trask?
He's just a competitor, guys. He can complete the balls, and he makes most of the time he makes the right decisions. That's what you got to do as a quarterback. When a play breaks down, you got to make a right decision. That's what I preach to my son all the time, and I think he's one of those hedgy guys who's, you know, he's not overly athletic, but he makes the right decisions, and he can throw the football. But I think his best attribute is being a competitor.
He's coming on, no question. Chase McCabe trying to come on. He goes out west to the friend of the show, Arizona State. Now, let's set the tone for this week. I mean, Chase has two heartbreak city picks. He takes Arizona State, 10.5-point dog at USC. Arizona State, under Herm Edwards, friend of the show, leads 27-14 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. 27-14. They give up a touchdown. Okay. 27-21.
No harm.
No problem. Still got the lead. Can't get the onside kick.
Burp, burp.
Oh, USC scores again, 28-27, and Arizona State drops it. 10.5 points slipping through Chase's fingers. Chase, sorry.
It hurt.
Woulda.
It hurt.
Coulda, shoulda. You and Chris would be a photo finish. Woulda, coulda, shoulda standings.
It hurt.
That one.
There were real tears. There were hashtag real tears.
Yeah, bad beat.
Kelly Holcomb went with the Friday night contest at Boise State on the blue field, a 3-point dog ranked in the top 25, taking on undefeated BYU. Whoops. BYU wins it 51-17. It was no contest, and the Cougars are trying to make as much noise as they can. I'm not sure how much it's going to help, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's, you know, if it's Boise's bad, or I think BYU's really good. I think it's a little bit of both. But that game was over before it started. I looked at the score, and I'm like, yeah, that was over.
Kelly has not been beaten that soundly very often, as we'll hear. He has built a nice lead, so he missed that one bad. Boise State was only a 3-point dog against BYU. That was out of control. Then we get to Chris Sanders, and it's another theme for the year. Chris Sanders going deep, going for big points, which worked for him so well in 2019 when he won the title. He had Syracuse, a 14-point home dog against Boston College. Syracuse right in it all the way through, but they drop it 16-13. So an easy cover, but in this contest, Chris, as you know, no points for a cover.
Woulda, coulda, shit. I'm with Darren.
And then we get to Sunday. Chris had the first pick in the NFL.
Laughed at me, didn't you?
We did.
And he did. He got laughed out of the building last Thursday. He picked the Cowboys, a 14-point home dog against undefeated Pittsburgh. We didn't know who the heck was going to be quarterback in the Cowboys. We thought it was going to be Cooper Rush off the practice squad. It wasn't even him. They went to the next guy in Garrett Gilbert, and he played a heck of a game. Cowboys led throughout, probably should have won. With a little luck here, a call here, a play there, they would have pulled it off, but Pittsburgh does stay unbeaten. It went down to the last play for the second straight week. The Steelers win it 24-19. So, Chris, so close to getting – you had 28 points in your hands. That could have put you right back in it.
Champ,
but instead, you get nothing.
All I can do is I gave him all.
I will admit, Chris, I was watching –
oh, you were
every play of that game, because if Dallas would have won, I would have shut my phone off. There's no doubt I was going to shut my phone off.
I'd have waited for you at the station?
Nope. It would have been voicemail city, man.
Everywhere you went, I'd have been right there.
Chris, I would have given you his address. Don't worry.
Straight to voicemail for days. I would not have turned my phone on for days.
I'd have found you.
So a tough one for Chris Sanders. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb. He went with one of his former teams, the Buffalo Bills, a 3-point home dog against the Seahawks. It was a shootout, and that was not totally unexpected. But the Bills really took it to the Seahawks and won it 44-34. So Kelly gets his 11th win of the season, and he picks up 3 more points to pad his lead. He's got 57 points on the year. Sound pick.
Go Bills. Go Bills. Go Bills.
I liked the pick.
They're awfully good. They're the leaders of the AFC East. Chase McCabe had the next pick. He went with the Jets, and that had some oohs and ahs and raised eyebrows. dropped Jaws, 7.5-point dog, which even became a bigger spread by the time the game was played on Monday. And the Jets led throughout the contest against New England. They had it won. They're up 27-17 in the fourth quarter. They had a 12-man-on-the-field penalty. They had a Joe Flacco bomb that had no business being thrown. The Patriots had the ball late, and they had about 20 seconds left. It looked like they had no prayer at the last field goal, but somehow the weak Patriots offense comes from behind and wins it 30-27. So Chase, kind of like Chris, had big points in his hands and comes up with nothing.
Nada.
Bummer. Bummer.
Zilch.
Don't forget, Willie, the text, Chase. This is so Chase. Hey, guys, the Jets could win this one. And I'm like,
I think that was me.
No, I
texted
that.
No, Chase did it. Because I responded back with, and I think the Patriots could win too.
There you go.
Willie said that.
I was the one that said the Jets could win this thing.
I didn't say that.
I'll have to go
back
and review.
Take a look at the chain. I admit guilt on that. I may have jinxed you, Chase, on that one.
Yeah, that was Willie.
Are you positive?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
I'm positive.
Let's go back to Monday.
And we'll round it out by Darren's final pick. He took the Denver Broncos, a 4-point dog at the Falcons. Seemed like a reasonable pick, and the Broncos just needed maybe another minute or two in the game because they got way behind like everybody does against the Falcons and then tries to come back and win. But the Falcons, who have stabilized some, they've won a couple here, they hold on to win at 34-27. So at the end of 9 weeks, Kelly Holcomb, 11-7, 57 points, a commanding lead. Darren in second, picking up a few, and he's now got 40.5. Chase in third with 25, and Chris with 20. So we move ahead to week 10. When we come back, we'll make the picks. Chase McCabe has the first pick, Kelly second, Chris third, and then Darren has the fourth pick in college and the first pick in the pros. Stay tuned. This is Silly Underdog Picks right here on 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Time for the picks. Week number 10 of the Silly Underdog Contest here on 102.5 The Game. As we mentioned before, Kelly Holcomb with the commanding lead, trying to take the title back. One that was stolen from him last year by the rookie Chris Sanders. Let's see what happens. Still plenty of football to be played. And here's the silver lining, guys, of all the games that have been moved. Fingers crossed, it will extend our season. And we will. And now, of course, that we've added the pro games, there's more time for you guys to come back from big deficits. We'll see how that goes. Chase McCabe has the first pick for week number 10. You're a
heartbreaker. Dang it. Wrong one. Sorry, Chase.
Time to play the game.
Well done.
Time to play the game.
So, gentlemen.
I did like the Pat Benatar, by the way. That was a nice pick.
That was good.
That was a flock of seagulls.
I could do a lot of things. I could go into this week and I could be down after two heartbreakers last week. I could just say, you know what, it's done, it's over, but that's not how I roll. And so when I was thinking about this and looking at these games, knowing that I had the first pick, I decided I got to throw it. I do. I have to go downfield. And so I am putting my faith and my trust in another friend of the show. Derek Mason, listen to me, my friend. It's going to happen this week. Give me Vandy on the road at Kentucky, plus 17.
You took mine.
Wow.
Dang.
Going with a Chris Sanders type of pick, Vanderbilt is a 17-point dog playing on the road against 2-4 Kentucky. An 11 a.m. start on SEC Network. And no, the game has not been moved to the 2:30 slot on CBS or any other more attractive slot on a national audience. But SEC Network it is. Vanderbilt is the pick. Seems like silence. Seems like nobody really other than Chris had that on the radar, which is not surprising that Chris was looking for that one.
Hey, that's fine.
Also said, but two great minds think alike. Come on.
Hey, Chase, that's got to make you feel good. The guy in last place.
Oh, wow.
That was his pick.
Yeah.
All right, so Vanderbilt is on the board. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, the leader in the contest.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line.
country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I don't like that blue field.
Can't stand it. Hey, this year, I mean, hey, Willie, you've been up and down with me over the years of being a commissioner, but why in the world, you're kind of the voice, you're the mouthpiece of the show, but will you stop texting everybody? Because you have nothing to do with this on Saturday.
I like to stir the pot a little bit.
We get the random, hey, they're on a roll. I mean, we don't need that, Willie. Just do the show. You know what I mean?
I feel bad. I feel like I've cost some guys, like Chase and Chris. I've texted them like, hey, you guys, your pick looks good. Pick looks good. And then it just falls apart, and I just feel guilty.
They don't need any morale boosters. You just host the show, all right?
Okay. So you're telling me to bow out of the text chain. Just bow out.
Please. I mean, bow out. Please. Okay.
Here I thought it was adding to the fun. I was feeling real good. I felt like one of the gang. I'm getting kicked out.
You're out of here, mister.
It happens.
Yeah, just be the commissioner, Hoss. Okay. You have a hard
Know your role. That's what he's saying. Know your role.
Know your role, please. Okay. So I think I'm going to go, and I'm going to say that Herm Edwards' team has a hangover from that loss last week. And flip, I forgot who they play now. Good Lord.
Oh my gosh.
I was.
And this guy's winning? What? Are you kidding me?
You know that team.
Good Lord.
Oh, California. Cal. They're playing Cal.
Yes.
Just look for a field goal line. That's where Kelly's always looking.
Hey, I'm just trying to make pars right now, fellas. Y'all got to come get me. Once you start coming to get me, I can go after some birdies and some eagles, but right now I'm just parring it.
The Golden Bears of California, whose game was not played last week, will be playing their opener at Arizona State, fingers crossed. These days, you know, hey, it's only Thursday. But Cal is a 3.5-point dog against the Sun Devils, who, of course, had it slip through their fingers against USC last week, which much to the chagrin of Chase McCabe. So Kelly going for 3.5, as he normally does, just trying to add and protect the lead. That brings us to Chris Sanders, who has been going for the big ones. He's been so close. He got the 20 points from Maryland to get back in the contest. Let's see what he's got up his sleeve in Week 10.
All right. I had to go back and do some soul searching and kind of figure out to get this thing back on the roll. So I turned to one of my favorite movies. Rocky won. And every time Rocky got knocked down, he got back up, and he won the fight. So here's what I'm going with. I'm going with South Florida over Houston. Let's go, baby.
Okay, while we pull up the line on that, let's just make one thing. Rocky won, just for the record. We do know. No, I've got it, but you know, I'm a big fan of Rocky won myself, Chris. But we do need to point out that Rocky did not win.
He made it through it. Come on, man. Don't mess with my mojo.
I know. I'm not messing with it because he won the hearts. Okay, he won the hearts of everybody against Apollo Creed. But Apollo got the controversial decision in Rocky 1. And Rocky came back in Rocky 2 and did win.
There you go.
They're a 14-point dog, Willie.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, I've got it. South Florida is a 14-point dog on the road at 2-3 Houston. Now, remember, Houston took a while to get started. They had a bunch of games postponed early, but they've been playing, and South Florida is at 1-6. So, once again, Chris going for the big dog, and for the third straight pick, he picks a 14-point dog. So, South Florida is the pick. Let's go to Darren McFarland for the fourth and fifth picks, the last college, the first pro.
Indian fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian fever.
Be a believer.
Cleveland Indians.
Cy Young winner, Shane Bieber.
I on another day and time, Darren, we'll talk about how I think the Indians might trade Francisco Lindor to the Mets. But we'll talk. You and I will negotiate the trade.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't look like Lindor is going to be back. I'm going to stay right here, kind of our home base, the SEC. This team got mopped this past weekend. Their coach is already getting questions about his job security. Does he feel like the seat is warm? A lot of that already going on at press conferences. So with that being said, this is usually when Will Muschamp stands up and says, okay, all right, let's quiet everything down. I'll take the Gamecocks in 11 against Ole Miss.
South Carolina is an 11-point dog coming in with a 2-4 record, and they'll be playing in Oxford against Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels at 2-4. The only other game. So both SEC games that are still on the docket have been picked. The other games besides the Arkansas-Florida game have been postponed. So, Darren, you now have the floor as we move to the NFL.
All right. I am going to – oh, boy. I keep doing this.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. He doesn't know what you're going to do, but he doesn't want you to do it.
What kind of thing where he's going.
What is Chris talking about? I don't even – there's – this is probably going to get you – if this is the game you're talking about.
Yeah, I know it
and
is.
Chase pretty mad because he's got a major crush.
Dang it!
On Teddy B. Major crush. But, I mean, they're getting 5.5 points at home. I get it. The Bucks are stinging. They got embarrassed on Sunday night. So they'll probably respond. But I don't know. Maybe this is a little karma for signing AB. Maybe the Bucks are getting what they deserve. So I'll take Carolina getting 5.5 at home.
I don't like you.
The Panthers are a 5.5-point home dog playing without Christian McCaffrey against the 6-3 Tampa Bay Bucks, who did get embarrassed in their last game on Sunday night on NBC. So Darren has Carolina, and Chase is not happy with that.
They've been playing without Christian McCaffrey all year, basically.
Well, he returned last week for, I mean, as many of you know, and they were right there against the Chiefs. Came up short. McCaffrey's got a totally separate injury. So 5.5 is the line. That brings us once again to Chris Sanders.
Sure. Well, this pick, I really, really love this pick because I love this coach, and he's made for times like this. So I'm going with New England over Baltimore.
Definitely. Very interesting.
Yeah, I definitely was not going with that game.
Very interesting. The New England Patriots, a 7-point home dog against the 6-2 Ravens, two rivals who have had so many big games back and forth throughout the years. Remember last year, the Ravens on national TV absolutely destroyed the Patriots. The Patriots really went on a downward trend the rest of the season. The Ravens moved up, at least during the regular season. Ravens have not been playing as lights out, especially on offense.
Right.
But we know how many problems the Patriots have had. So, interesting game. Pat's a 7-point dog. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb for his pro pick.
Darren, I want to commend you for that college pick. That was one of mine. That was a
really?
Good pick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the Bears. I say they beat Minnesota.
The Chicago Bears, a fraud, according to Darren McFarland.
No, I actually like them in this spot. I would have taken it, but it's just 2.5. That's the only reason I didn't take it. I like that pick.
The Bears are a 2.5-point dog at 5-4, playing at home against the 3-5 Vikings. And Darren pointed out very, very emphatically, how could that be when the Vikings are 3-5 and the Bears are 5-4? In the face of the Bill Parcells great adage, you are what your record says you are. So the Bears, a home dog with a winning record. Kelly is on it for 2.5 points. That brings us to Chase McCabe for the final pick.
Well, Darren took my original pick, but that's okay because you should always have a plan B. I'm going with the football team. +4.5 against Detroit. Alex Smith.
I like it.
Starting for the football team.
The football team, the football team, who plays in Washington, D.C., a 4.5-point dog on the road against the Lions. The Lions, a hard team to figure at 3-5, got schooled last week by the Vikings. So, the picks are in, ladies and gentlemen. Let's review. Week number 10, on tap. Chase McCabe starts it off, goes big with the Vanderbilt Commodores, a 17-point dog on the road at Kentucky. Kelly Holcomb, just trying to add to a big lead, takes California, the Golden Bears, 3.5 points. They're the dog at Arizona State. Chris Sanders, coming up next, goes into the American Conference, goes with South Florida. The Bulls, a 14-point dog against the Cougars of Houston down in Texas. Darren McFarland, then back-to-back, trying to get back in it. On the college side, he goes with Will Muschamp's South Carolina Gamecocks, an 11-point dog at Ole Miss, a pair of 2-4 teams. Darren then comes back in the pros and goes with Chase McCabe's Carolina Panthers, a 5.5-point home dog against division rival Tampa Bay, coming in at 6-3. Chris Sanders goes to the Sunday night contest and takes the New England Patriots. Coming off the Monday night win, the shaky win against the winless Jets, the Pats are a 7-point home dog against the mighty Baltimore Ravens. Kelly Holcomb on the pro side goes with the Bears, 2.5-point home dog, taking on another division rival, the Minnesota Vikings, who are on the upswing. They've played better. They've won their last two and look good doing it. Then finally, Chase McCabe goes with the football team from Washington, D.C., much in need of a win. Hey, if you win one every three games, you're in the race in the NFC East. Can they go to Detroit and beat the Lions? We shall see. The football team is a 4.5-point dog. Remember, you can play along with us in this contest. It makes it fun on Saturday and Sunday this year. Go to thegamenashville.com and make your picks for Silly Underdogs. Those are our picks for week number 10. Gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I won't be texting you guys. Sorry. I'll save my text for somebody else. I'll find other friends. I'll be watching the games and I go, well, I really like to text the guys. Oh, I can't. I can't.
Yeah, well,
Kelly won't let
me. You can text me.
Okay, I'll just text you, Chris. That's a good idea. I'll just text Chris.
We're chums. Just tell the other folks. Leave
all
me
right,
out.
Chums.
Don't put me on the thread, Hulk.
Chris, we'll be listening to you starting today at 5.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. That is Forever Titan Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb, who last week hung up on us before we could even say goodbye. Kelly, good luck. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. And he hung up again.
He's out.
History repeats itself.
He gone.
All right. We're going to come back and do a little exercise of the Titans at home against the Colts over the years. Will you be surprised? I don't know. Stay tuned. Listen. Find out for yourself. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's right. You heard some of those underdog picks that we just had. You might want to invest in those this weekend on BetMGM. I've been telling you about BetMGM and its arrival here in Tennessee, and there's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports, why they are the king of sportsbooks. So right now, if you're a new customer, if you have not taken the dive yet, this is what you can do. You have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on the Colts or the Titans. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. That's 1025GAME100. If you're ready to start betting with confidence, like I have been, in turning big plays into paydays, then sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, their boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. All you need to do is download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Colts or the Titans to score a touchdown. It's that simple. It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. You must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. We'll be right back.
Becker and Darren, Donick and Chase on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. Beautiful weather outside. Low 60s. Sunshine. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Have the Titans been smooth at home versus the Colts? Well, let's find out. So they changed, they realigned the divisions in what, 2002? Is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, that's when the Indianapolis Colts started coming to town. So let's just take a look of how the Titans have fared at home against Indy. We all know, we've talked about it this week, their record overall since they've been here. We know it's not good, but let's do a little deeper dive. Let's look at, okay, you're supposed to be at home, right? You have an advantage. You're supposed to be at least better at home. Well, let's find out if the Titans have been better at home against Indy. Chase or Willie or Elijah, one of you, could somebody mark down little wins and losses and let's see what it is at the end?
I can keep some tally marks.
All right, Elijah, you got it.
Okay, let's do that. And then we'll also get a leaderboard before we get out of here as well. So, guys, let's start in 2002. And we need to go to that first Sunday in December. Colts came to town, and the Titans come away with a 27-17 victory. All right, off to a good start, right? 1-0 at home against Indy.
All right, McNair versus Manning, correct?
No, two very good teams.
Yep, two very good teams. The Titans would finish 11-5 that season and lose to the Raiders in the AFC Championship game. So let's go to 2003. Yet again, first Sunday in December, Colts come to town, and the Titans lose a heartbreaker, 29-27. In 2004, and that was a Titans team that went 12-4 that season, by the way.
In 03, yes.
It lost to the Patriots in the playoffs in Foxborough. I was there.
Yeah,
when it was
the 29-27 was a key. They lost the division with that loss. That contributed to them being a wild card team and not the division winner, which
yes,
they were in 02. Yeah.
That is correct. That was their last loss of the regular season, was that game.
And if you remember, that was a team that had Steve McNair. And was Peyton Manning the co-MVP with McNair?
Yep,
that year?
03.
So
yep.
Those are two really, really good teams.
Yeah. So there you go. What, 1-1? All right, off to 04. Titans had all the injuries. They were going for it. They kept everybody around. And they would actually meet in Nashville right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, this was a good game. This was the Mike Eccles game that we've referred to, where the Colts signed Mike Eccles for the week to get as many tips as they could. And I remember this game very well. It was before the Titans had all the guys hurt, so it was the Titans really still looking like the team from the previous 3 or 4 years and went right down to the wire. I can remember.
And they were coming off a longer week because that was the opener was
Miami. On 9/11.
Yep, got moved to Saturday because of the hurricane.
They played on
in
Saturday.
04?
9/11, yep. Yes. And they went down there and they beat the Dolphins 17-7.
Yeah.
Came home, and as Chase mentioned, had a little bit longer to prepare, and they have their home opener to that season against the Colts, and they lose 31-17.
And it was closer than that. If I remember correctly, it was back and forth. There was a fourth down. Steve McNair tried to go to D-Mace down the sideline. I think, you know, instead of the Titans maybe going in for a tying score, the Colts went down. They just couldn't stop the Colts when you got down to it in that game. But that was a good game.
Well, it would be the start of what would be their,
yeah, it unraveled.
Their season.
Yeah, yeah. The season unraveled from there.
And it kept unraveling on into 05 because they lost even – or they won even less games in 05.
Oh, they were overmatched. So let's just get to it. In 05 and then 06 – or no, 05 was – it was no contest. I remember that game well.
31-10, and it was the first game in October, October 2nd, and it was all Colts. Easy. Colts 31-10. So what does that put them at, 1-3?
1-3.
1-3. Yep. And that team would finish 4-12. On to 06, an 8-8 start of something that we had been accustomed to in this market. 8-8 The Titans would finish that year, and that
but
game
remember
would
the start.
Be yet again the first weekend, the first Sunday in December. It seems like they did that a lot. The Colts would come to town, and Indy would win 20-17 in 06.
No, Titans won 20-17.
Yes. The Titans won 20-7. That yes. was Vince Young's rookie year. This is when they got on the roll. They started off 0-4. He starts the game against Dallas, and they end up losing to the Cowboys. They lose to Indy in Indy. They're 0-5, and then that would begin the string. And you're right. They beat the Colts. In fact, that was the Barona 60-yarder.
Yeah,
60-yarder to win it. Mm-hmm. And they beat the Colts 20-17 right after they were coming off the home game against the Giants where they were down 21-0 and came back and won 24-21. Right. It was back-to-back home games that were as electrifying as you could. I mean, those two games, that place was nuts. And at that point, it was full-blown Vince Young fever, and it was crazy because the Titans were winning.
Remember what happened too?
In exciting fashion.
The Merrill Hodge had gone from ESPN had really gone out on a limb saying Vince Young will never be.
He'll be a bust.
An NFL quarterback, and people were all over him because he was great in that game for sure.
Yeah.
On the winning drive.
And I remember that that whole sequence of Barona's kicking the field goal. If you that was Jeff Fisher, I thought, with a really good coaching job there, because I think he sent the field goal unit out, and Dungy called the timeout, or he called a timeout, and then he sent the punt unit out, and Dungy called the timeout, and then he sent Baronis and company back out. He made Dungy use his timeouts, from what I remember, and then Baronis hit it. I was there with my dad sitting in the opposite end zone, so with Baronis had his back to us, and I just remember that place going nuts.
Indeed, it was. In fact, I think it was such a big deal. I think, Peter Keane, back then, and Peter Keane was massive figure and covering the sport, and he used to interview somebody, from like an exciting game around the league, and I remember him interviewing Rob Baronis for Sports Illustrated. It was pretty interesting. All right, let's go to 07. Indy, first home game of the year is against the Colts. So I feel like it's either the first home game of the year or the first Sunday in December when the Titans host the Colts. This happened to be the first home game of the year. And in 07, the Titans would have a good year. They would finish 10-6. They were coming off a win at Jacksonville to start off the season, and they would lose to the Colts 22-20.
Tight game. Tight game. The Titans, I think, we're a fairly sizable underdog in that game. I'm trying to – what year was the year that the Colts won the whole thing? Was that 05 or 06? I think it was 06, right?
06.
So they were the defending champions.
When
they were the defending
Miami
champions in that
is
game.
When the year they beat the Bears down in Miami.
Yeah, so this 06. Is the defending champion Colts team that comes in, pretty heavy favorite. The Titans had shocked Jacksonville the week before. And I remember coming out of that game thinking they lost, but – the Titans look like they've taken a step forward, and as we know, they made the playoffs that year. They got back in.
They were 10-6. They would lose to the Chargers in San Diego in that playoff game. In fact, that playoff game, we were down in New Orleans, down there for the Sugar Bowl or the national championship game, and I remember us. It was the first day we got there, and we were because it was. No, I guess that game was on a Sunday. And we got down there Sunday morning, and the Titans and Chargers were playing. We watched that playoff game. So, okay, so they lose to the Colts 22-20. So what's the record through 07?
2-4.
2-4. On to 08.
08 was the Thursday night, lighted up in blue, whatever it was.
No, it was the Monday night game. Monday night game.
Was it Monday night?
It was a Monday night game at the end of October. And the Titans win 31-21.
What did they call it? The code blue. Code blue. Yeah, they wore the all Columbia blue uniforms.
Well, you knew this had a good chance at a win because the Titans started off 10-0 that year.
Yeah.
So they did. They beat the Colts 31-21 at the end of October on a Monday night football game. And so there you go. On to, and they would lose to the Ravens. of course, in the playoffs. They finished 13-3 that season, including a shutout loss up in Indy at the end of the regular season when they were resting everybody. All right, on to 09. 09 was not good. And Indy was here on October 11th. And
is that
Colts,
a Sunday night?
Colts won 31-9.
Night game, nightmare. And was that part of the 0-6 start?
Yep.
Yes.
Because the next week they lost 59-0 to New
England. That was when the wheel, it was like, oh, my goodness. That's right. They lost to New England the following week, 59-0. And then that's when they got on their roll. Because they started off 0-6. And, but yeah, that was back-to-back weeks, just awful. Awful games, and then they go into bye week after the Patriots, and they would come back and they would win. What would it be? Eight of their final 10 games.
Yep,
that's right.
Yeah, their only two losses on that stretch were at Indy and then San Diego. Here,
imagine that. Two teams that they've had their struggle with over the year: Rivers and the Colts. Now you get both of them together tonight. Okay, so 09. They lose 31-9. On to 2010, season that did not go well for the Titans. They would finish 6-10, and back to the first. Actually, this would be a Thursday night game in early December here, and the Colts would get the 30-28 victory.
That was a team that I believe went 5-2 to start, and this was the unraveling of Vince Young and Jeff Fisher. Really, it was his last year, right?
Yes, because the Washington game was a couple weeks prior. That was the overtime loss here, and that's when Vince threw his shoulder pads up in the stands on the way to the locker room.
Yeah, no.
And that was it.
Randy Moss was on the team.
That Randy Moss was indeed on the team. He was used as a decoy and really never had any impact whatsoever. That would indeed be Jeff Fisher's last year. But yeah, they would lose to the Colts 30-28. Was that not the same year? Isn't that the year that Jeff put on the Colts jersey?
Yep.
At a function at Belmont or Lipscomb?
Yeah, it was the Peyton Manning jersey.
Where was that, Willie? Was that at Belmont or Lipscomb where he put on the Peyton Manning jersey and says, "Oh, so this is what winning feels like." I can't remember which one. I think it was at Belmont, but I'm not positive on that.
That seems right.
So, Elijah, they dropped to Indy 30-28. What's the record through 2010?
3-6.
3-6. On to 2011, a 9-7 season. They would get Indianapolis here on the final Sunday, the day before Halloween, and they would beat the Colts 27-10 en route to a 9-7 season. That was Munchak's first year.
Yeah, and I believe that was – wasn't that the year that Peyton was hurt?
Yes, so that was Curtis Painter.
Yep.
Curtis Painter, the quarterback for the Colts, and that would be the last time they would beat the Colts for a while.
Yes.
On to 2012, another a tough season at 6-10, and they lose a tough one to Indy here late October. They fall in overtime 19-13.
Andrew Luck.
And that would be the beginning of, yes, one Andrew Luck. 2013, 7-9 season, second Sunday in November, Indy comes to town.
It was a Thursday.
I'm sorry, you're right. It was a Thursday night game, and the Colts win 30-27. I don't remember much about that game.
I think that was
Ryan Fitzpatrick, if I remember correctly.
Ooh, you might be right.
That was Fitzmagic. They had a chance to win that game. I remember exactly where I was for that. I was in Pittsburgh in my hotel room. So that was Fitzmagic trying to get it done. Didn't quite get it.
Mike Munchak would be dismissed the end of that year?
Yep, he was 7-9, and that would do it. Year three would be it for him.
And
enter Ken Wisenhunt.
The Wizenator.
Oh, boy, the Wizenator comes to town. Well, if they don't play him the first week of the season, then we know what the results are going to be. 2014, they did not. They played him the final game of the regular season was here in late December, and the Titans fell 27-10, of course, just to finish off a 2-14 season.
Was that the Met show? Was that Zach Mettenberger starting that game?
Yes, it was. I believe so.
That was it? Rough.
Or was that Met show or Clipboard Jesus?
I think by the end of the year, Mettenberger was playing, but I don't remember. That game had no significance at all.
I forgot about Whitehurst.
Other than where are they going to pick?
You know what? Now that you say that, I don't remember who started that game.
It was, in fact, Clipboard Jesus.
Charlie
Whitehurst.
Oh, my goodness.
Whitehurst.
He started that game.
Sean Green in the backfield for the Titans.
That's a good point. You're basically saying Mettenberger was playing in Week 17. Probably something had happened by then. All right, 2015, not a good year. Wiz would not even make it, but halfway through the season?
Yep.
They would finish 3-13, and one of those losses was early on in the season where they fell here, a heartbreaker, 35-33
The Colts. That was a bad loss because they had that game won, remember. That was young Marcus Mariota. Remember they had the great first game against the Bucs, and you're thinking, oh, wow. Might have something here. They were in total position to win that game, and Andrew Luck just came back and stole it.
Yeah. Wiz got fired after that 20-6 loss to Houston just a few weeks later.
1st of November.
Yep.
On to 2016. Indianapolis was here October 23rd, and the Colts would win 34-26. And that would be a season where the Titans would finish 9-7. That would be the start of the 9-7 seasons. Of course, that's malarkey. 2017 was the middle of October on Monday night, and the Titans would win 36-22.
Was that was the game that Mariota had the hurt groin?
Yes.
And played through it.
Could not move
against
a
bad Colts team. I think.
Yeah, no luck.
Luck
no
was
luck.
Hurt. Yeah,
no luck.
And they got by. That was a big, but he played well.
He did.
They got it done. That was a gutsy effort by him.
2018, Indianapolis, final game of the regular season, late December, December 30th to be exact.
Oh, remember this one.
And the Titans fell 33-17 to the
That
Colts.
Was the Mariota suddenly doesn't play. They thought all week he would play.
Winning your in.
Winning in. Couldn't go.
That would be Matt Cassel or? Or Blaine
Gabbert.
No, it was Blaine
Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert had to play.
Blaine Gabbert.
Just not enough. Not enough left in the tank to pull it off.
And then last year, the first home game of the year, the ceremony. You know, you're just thinking this is just set up. They've just come off just absolutely annihilating the Browns up in Cleveland. I was there for that. 43-13. Like I said, you've got the ceremony and everything involved in that game. They're going to beat the Colts at home, right? It's just going to happen.
Should have.
And they lost 19-17.
And that was if
I'm that was mistaken, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it was.
Because obviously Luck had just retired before a month or prior to that game.
Wasn't there some
bad
questionable
kicking.
Coaching decisions too by Vrabel in that one?
I think there was a lot of really interesting plays. There was some go-for-its by Frank Reich that worked. There was some bad kicking by the Titans. And, yes, I do remember them being in great position a couple times. That I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember specifics, but, Chase, yeah, we had so much angst, I think, the next day for so many reasons. That was one you just felt like they should have won.
Well, the winning touchdown in the fourth quarter was, you're never going to guess, Jacoby Brissett hit who for the winning touchdown for the Colts? Just take
that,
a wild stab.
Was
just
that
throw a name
T.Y.
out
guy?
How did you look? How did
no,
you know
I was
it was
just
T.Y.
guessing.
Hilton?
Just a guess.
I know. Yeah. When in doubt.
It was only last year.
When in doubt, go Jack Doyle or T.Y. Hilton?
Cairo Santos was the kicker.
Yeah.
Who actually made a field goal in that game. Believe it or not.
But he also missed one, and then the next week was I think the nightmare against the Bills where he missed, what, four? He went 0 for 4?
Yeah, and that would do it for
and
him.
That was
no,
it.
That wasn't the next week. That was later on. That was several weeks later.
He missed one.
Several? It wasn't that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks.
Because he wasn't
later.
There very long.
It was 3 weeks later.
Yeah. The Titans had a fumble
they had
recovery.
Jacksonville and Atlanta.
Interception.
They went down to Atlanta and smoked the Falcons, and then the next game was the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
So our record, Elijah, Titans here since they've been in Nashville against the Colts. Home games against the Colts, the record is?
An ugly 5-13.
Wait for it. Say it again.
5-13.
5-13. Yikes. At home since they've been in Nashville against the Colts. 5-13.
Since they've been in the division.
Here.
Since 02.
No, since they've been here, that is their record here in Nashville. When they didn't play them before.
They never played them here before.
I know.
That,
can
huh?
you believe that?
Wow.
I know. Isn't that weird? I had to like double check that. I'm like, that can't be right. No, they never came here until they put them in the same division. 5-13.
Yikes.
Yikes. Exclamation point. Yikes. And here they sit as a 1.5 point underdog again. But good news. And I saw Alan Bell, friend of the show, tweet this out earlier today. Home underdogs in divisional games this season are 12-2 against the spread. Home underdogs in divisional games this season are 12-2 against the spread. Could the Titans make it 13-2? They are a home underdog in a divisional game. We will come back. We'll talk to Teresa Walker with Associated Press to start the final hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.